This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why aren't we talking about the Browns yet, Jeff? Let's go.
Because you...
Well, let me Google something to look up, see if Jeff's right.
Well, just because I proved you right.
Let's not focus on who was right and who was wrong. Let's focus on where we should be.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Okay, so what was Glass Houses all about?
Trying to get there. So when the Browns drafted Dylan Gabriel in the third round, everybody thought, okay, that's it, right?
Yeah, I thought
you got your quarterback.
Thought so.
You drafted a young guy. Maybe you develop him. Maybe you get a guy next year. Maybe it's Joe Flacco. Maybe Kenny Pickett becomes the reincarnation of Sam Darnold. You know, who knows? And then they turn around in the fifth round and draft Shedeur Sanders. And everybody says, what the hey are the Browns doing? They drafted two quarterbacks.
That's exactly what they said. What the hey are they doing?
What are they doing? I'm trying to clean it up, Andy. I don't like to cuss in front of the kids.
Okay, Wilbur.
You know. So what the hey are they doing?
Yeah.
And everybody, why are they taking two quarterbacks?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know?
Well, I better get Google out.
Just trust me on this, will you? Trust me on this.
Don't red pen the red pen.
Oh, yeah, it's true. That's a great point.
It's the 11th time since the NFL draft was shortened to seven rounds in 1994, that a quarterback has been taken, two of them, by a team in the same draft. The 11th time. And better than that, third time in the last 4 years. So it's not really that outrageous.
It happens like one-third of the time. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, since 1994, it's happened 11 times. And in three of the last four, and this is the fun part of this, I think, although there's something peculiar about the Browns drafting these two guys that nobody else did. I'll tell you that in a minute. Last year, what team drafted two quarterbacks? Drake May, Joe Milton, going to the New England Patriots.
Okay.
Drake May was the third pick. Milton was 193. In 2022, Pittsburgh took Kenny Pickett with the 20th pick and then took a guy, and I'm going to butcher his name, Chris Oladokun.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody. Chris Oladokun at 241. So that's happened. Other times it's happened since the draft was shortened to seven times. Washington's done it twice, RG3 and Kirk Cousins. That's the most memorable because you had a guy that really became pretty solid in Kirk Cousins and a guy who was pretty good till he got injured in RG3. And, of course, we saw him here.
Mm-hmm.
The other teams that did it, and I'll start from the beginning, 94, when it was shortened to seven rounds. Remember, Washington took Heath Shuler from Tennessee, and everybody thought Heath Shuler was going to be really good.
Yeah.
He was third overall. They also took Gus Frerotte. Gus had a better career. Carolina took Kerry Collins and then a guy named Jerry Colquitt. The Bengals.
What year was that?
That was in 95. When the Browns came back, the Bengals took Akili Smith at three, and then a guy named Scott Covington at 239. In 2000, Giovanni Carmazzi went to the Niners at 65, so that's what, in the third round? And Tim Rattay, who kicked around the league for a while, late in the draft. This one strikes home.
Yeah.
Houston took Dave Ragone from St. Ignatius.
Yep.
And then later took Drew Henson from Michigan, and Drew was around a while.
Yeah.
Dave's a
played baseball for the Yankees, too, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, minor league system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dan, Packers took Brian Brohm. And then took Matt Flynn. Flynn ended up having a much better career. Carolina took Jimmy Clausen in 2010 and Tony Pike from Cincinnati. Jimmy was from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So those are the 11 times it's happened.
I'm closing my eyes trying to remember. How many of those, and I don't know, I'm not expecting you to know the answer. How many of those 11 teams made the playoffs that year?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
If you print that out for me, I'll tell you next break.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
No problem.
The interesting thing about the Browns thing here,
mm-hmm.
and this is kind of weird. The Browns duo of Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders are the closest in draft position that any team since it went to seven rounds has taken two quarterbacks. They're only 50 picks apart. 94 and 144, right?
Okay.
The previous closest was 100 picks apart. So what the other teams basically did was, all right, we got our quarterback. And then, you know, we need somebody to throw passes in training camp. Maybe just to be safe, let's draft somebody else. But the Browns drafted a guy in the third round. You're not going to wait until the third and think you have your guy, unless maybe you think you do, and then turn around and draft another guy in the fifth. The Browns actually drafted two guys who they think are going to come in and try and compete for this. So I think that's interesting. And here's the other aspect of it that I think is interesting. I mentioned the other 10 teams, Andy, that did this. Gabriel was the latest a team took the first quarterback at 94. And it's really, really not even close. Dave Ragone was 88. But most of the other teams took their first quarterback really high. Third, fifth, third, second, third.
Hmm.
But the Browns waited until 94. So he was the last guy, the deepest a guy, a team took their first guy. But Sanders was the earliest that a team took the second, other than Kirk Cousins. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
I think that's interesting. To me, it just screams, we like this guy, and we like this guy, and we're going to bring them both in, and we're going to let them compete. As opposed to with every other team, it was real clear. Here's our guy. And we took another quarterback. I think it's interesting.
Is it something, though?
Well, I do. What I think it is this. You know, like when Washington took Heath Shuler, the first team to do it, you know, went to seven. Well, he was the guy. Well, it turned out he wasn't. Gus Frat ended up playing. Kerry Collins was the guy, fifth overall. Akili Smith wasn't Scott Covington. You know, the only place where you could say we're not necessarily sure we're getting the guy when San Francisco took whoever Carmazzi or Giovanni Carmazzi is, and when Houston took Dave Ragone and Green Bay took Brian Brohm and Carolina took Jimmy Clausen hoping to get lucky. Other than that, they drafted somebody who they thought was going to be their guy.
You'll like this stat, too, that just because we like him a lot. And it's both and I know you're talking about the seven-round era, but in 82, Schliester and Mike Pagel both got – Schliester went fourth overall out of Ohio State, and then Mike Pagel went in the fourth round. That was another double dip.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And who ended up being the guy?
Pagel.
Our buddy Mike Pagel was the starter because Art Schliester was busy.
Some issues.
They were actually roommates at training camp.
Hmm.
I may or may not have been told by somebody who later played for the Browns that he would get phone calls, you know, on the phone in the room because you didn't have cell phones, saying, hey, is Art there? No? Give him these numbers, would you?
Yeah, I've heard other stories.
And Mike's thinking, I might be the starter. And he was.
Mm.
Browns took two quarterbacks.
Art could play, though. That's the sad part.
Art screwed it up.
Yeah.
He screwed it up. Are you kidding? The Browns have done this before, folks. They've drafted multiple quarterbacks before. You think the shirt with the names on it is bad? The shirt since 99? Oh, golly. Stay tuned. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.
I got some bad news for you. You want the bad news or the bad news?
I don't know what kind of news could possibly be bad on such a fine day.
Well, you gave us the double dip news, right?
11 times since the draft has been shortened to 7 rounds. An NFL team has drafted two quarterbacks in the same draft. 11 times. The Browns are the 11th team to do it and the third in the last 4 years.
Yeah. So if you're hoping that they're going to make the playoffs, I wouldn't buy playoff tickets. How's that sound?
Well, drafting young quarterbacks. Yeah. I would assume no, but maybe the next year.
You want to guess how many times a team has actually made the playoffs when they've drafted two quarterbacks in the same?
Since 94.
Since 94?
Once.
And that would be?
I don't know. Which
team exactly. You know it was. It was the year that we all thought.
RG3?
Wow, I can't. Yeah, it was
RG3. With Washington?
Yeah.
Okay. There it is.
And there you have it. They were 10-6, first place in the NFC East, and they lost to Seattle 24-14 in the playoffs.
Dano, do you have some fun list music? I never call for list music, but you might need some for
He's
this.
He's always calling for something. Come on, man. You always call for your own drops.
You think about it. So 11 times, the Browns are the 11th team since the draft was shortened in 1994 to draft two quarterbacks in the same draft. I went back and I thought, how long has it been since the Browns have drafted more than one quarterback in a draft? It's been a while. And I went all the way back through their history. And Andy?
Jeff.
Have you eaten?
No, I've not eaten
yet. All right, good. Then you have nothing that you're going to regurgitate here. You ready?
Okay.
Last time the Browns took two quarterbacks in the same draft, and I'm pretty sure all of this is absolutely on the money. I don't think I screwed it up. Was 1976, and I knew one of these guys immediately. In the fourth round, they took Gene Swick.
Oh, Gene Swick.
Who doesn't know Gene Swick?
Gene played his football at Toledo. That's why I know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then a guy named Craig Nagel in the ninth round.
He's from Purdue. Craig.
Neither guy ever played a game in the National Football League. In 1970, they took Mike Phipps in the first round out of Purdue.
That didn't work out real well.
Traded Paul Warfield to get that pick. And Mike, of course, played a lot of football, 119 games. But in the sixth round, they took a guy named Mike Silek from Iowa. This gets worse. You ready?
Yep.
In 1965, the Browns actually drafted three quarterbacks.
Three quarterbacks?
Oh, it gets worse. In 1965, they took Gary Lane from Missouri.
Did Art Modell have the team at that point? Because this would be an Art Modell move. So
Bill and Parma, if you're listening. Gary Lane from Missouri coming to the Browns in the ninth round of 65. He actually played in 18 NFL games. Pat Skreen from LSU in the 10th. And Dan Simrell of Toledo in the 14th round. Anybody know Dan Simrell?
Oh, Dan Simrell, yeah.
Later went on to be the head coach of the Toledo Rockets and the Findlay Oilers.
Sure.
A couple of college teams here in Ohio, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
In 1962, Browns drafted two guys, John Furman from UTEP, John Anabo from Fresno State. Neither ever played in an NFL game. Furman was actually a third-round draft choice. Dude never played in an NFL game. The haze going on there. In 1958, Jim Ninowski, and Jim actually played a lot. He's from Michigan State, played in 89 games. Jim Ninowski. And then in the 12th round took Bob Broadhead from Duke, who played in four games.
Oh, I remember those games well.
Just got that going for him, which is nice.
Are you sitting, Andy?
Well, I just got, you know what the hard part was? I had to wear a wool suit.
Almost
to
done
these
with
games.
This.
You remember everybody sitting next to me? They would all wear suits. And
they
hats.
Had their tie and their fedoras.
Oh, yeah.
Are you sitting, Dandy?
Dandy is, yes. Sure.
Dandy?
Yeah.
Dandy and Andy?
Yeah.
In 1957, Dan, are you sitting?
No, I prefer to stand. It's.
The Browns drafted four quarterbacks in 1957.
I can already hear a chunk of the fan base going, finally got it right.
There were 106 rounds in the 1957.
In the second round, they drafted Milt Plum, who actually had a long career. Dude. Yeah, Milt played here, and then he went to Detroit.
In fact, they once said, who cares about New York being the Big Apple? Cleveland is the Milt Plum.
He's from Penn State, played in 129 NFL games.
Thank you.
Then in the 19th round, they used to have so many rounds. Kenny Plowen from Iowa. 22nd round, Bob Winters from Utah State. Name that's going to you're going to recognize. In the 25th round, they took a quarterback from Miami of Ohio who actually played in three games. Thomas Dimitroff.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Who later worked for the Browns as a scout and his son.
Yeah.
Former GM of the Falcons.
This is 57 still?
Yep. And then the first time they did it, they took Harry Aganis from Boston University in the first round in 1952.
We would have hated that 57 draft. You know why?
Harry never played first round pick.
Who'd they leave on the board?
Well, we wouldn't have had time to talk about it because the draft was at the end of November. It was on my birthday. It was November 26, 11
Klosterman
years.
And Don Klosterman from Loyola Marymount played two games. Now, what's the point of this?
So we can make fun of you?
Yeah, I had something. I needed time to kill us.
To remind you of all the times that you've told me I need to go outside so that I could tell you to go outside?
So are you ready for this?
Yeah. Do you know how many rounds they had in 57?
30.
30 rounds. And you know how many teams were in the draft?
12.
13.
17. In the years where the Browns took more than one quarterback before this year, they took 17 quarterbacks. Okay. You think the trouble with our franchise just started in 99 with quarterbacks? We were lucky because you had Otto Graham. Then you had Dr. Frank Ryan. Then you had Bill Nelson. Then you had Brian Sipe, Mike Phipps, and Bernie. Okay, so you did have some guys. But in these multiple quarterback drafts before this year, 17 quarterbacks were taken in the drafts where they took more than one. 10 of the 17 never played in an NFL game. And three guys played in four or fewer games. So 14 of the 17 guys, Andy, played in four or fewer NFL games.
All I know is,
done, Browns.
Good job. I'm playing Wheel of Roulette with the 1957 draft. I mean, what were the Browns thinking? They took Paul Kamara, who was an end out of Stanford with the 42nd pick, and the Eagles took Sonny Jurgensen. Like, what were we thinking?
Sonny from Duke.
Oh, talk about dumb.
And then they traded Sonny Jurgensen to the Redskins for Norm Snead.
Oh.
Swapped quarterbacks.
And, by the way, the Browns also could have had Luke Owens from Kent State in that 57 draft, and they didn't.
Okay, great.
I mean, come on. We're looking at a Kent State guy that got drafted way before all these other. Well, this is awesome.
So what does this mean about right now? It means this. You drafted Dylan Gabriel. You drafted Shedeur Sanders. You're taking a shot at getting lucky. Because for the most part, the teams that have done it since 94 who drafted two quarterbacks, they didn't hit. One of the guys might have hit. In most cases, neither guy ended up being a rousing success. The only place where I think you can really say both guys were a success, and it's a stretch, was RG3 and Kirk Cousins. Because I think RG3 would have had a fine career had he not been injured. Robert was pretty good. And then he got hurt, and that kind of ended things. But most of the other ones, no. And when the Browns in the past have drafted multiple quarterbacks, oh my God, just terrible. So how do they make it work now? Do they make it work by keeping two rookies and watching some veteran play? Probably. Probably. And see if one of these guys, Andy, if one of these guys can even develop into a backup who plays a little bit, it's probably a success. Because again, you don't draft a quarterback in the first round, you're having issues, right? I mean, you're keeping your fingers crossed and you're hoping you got lucky. Teams don't get lucky. We just showed you. Teams don't get lucky here very often. And the Browns are hoping to get lucky with either Gabriel or Sanders, maybe with Pickett, and then see what happens. Did I depress you?
No, you didn't depress me. But now that you made me jump back into the time machine. I hate you for doing this stuff sometimes.
Thanks.
You bring up these
things. You hate me for a lot of reasons.
Well, then I come up with these thought-provoking
things. Yeah, we've been
things.
Friends for a very long time.
Like in that,
I called you the most generous man I know.
I know.
You know why?
Because you are. I know.
You're relatively a nice guy.
Gene Hickerson was also in that
57. You drive us all up a wall, but you're a nice guy.
Can we do this topic tomorrow? Should the Browns have taken Paul Hornung or Len Dawson over Jim Brown in the 57 draft?
216-47.
Look how stacked.
Light up those phone lines.
Man, that 57 Rotary draft was stacked, man. Paul Hornung was the first overall pick. Len Dawson went to the Steelers.
You have a cell phone or a touch tone. We don't want to hear from you. It's a Rotary-only topic.
Right of Alliance.
Jim Parker went to the Colts that year. The Colts. He was the highest Buckeye drafted.
Jim Parker went to the Colts.
Or Jim Parker went to the Colts. Thank you.
Maybe a Western Union telegram to give us your thoughts, too.
Oh, of course. Telegram.
Do you think everybody here realizes what a keep-your-fingers-crossed proposition drafting Gabriel in the third and Sanders in the fifth really is? Or do you think people are just so giddy about the idea of Shedeur in particular and not Dylan Gabriel? I don't think anybody's giddy about Dylan Gabriel, and maybe they should be. Our buddy Lance Reisland is giddy about Dylan Gabriel. That's about it.
Do you think
people understand that this is a crapshoot and you're hoping to get lucky, folks? That's what you're hoping for.
Yeah, history should tell you
this. You didn't draft your guy.
History should tell you that if you want instant success, that's not happening from this draft. It's not.
And the idea of having success at any level with these guys is a keep your fingers crossed proposition.
True.
That's why I think if either one of those quarterbacks starts at any point this year, of the young guys, either something went unbelievably right.
I am.
Or quite wrong.
There is a question that's just haunting me. Who do the fans want to start this year? Like, I have no feel for this.
I don't think the fans.
This is four days in a row.
If I had to bet, it's Shedeur Sanders.
I thought that until this morning, and then I caught this line on the morning show, and they were. I think Ken said 70%. He thinks that 70% of fans want Joe Flacco to start. Are you buying that? That you think 70? And he was throwing. No, I mean, he didn't live.
He's the odd man out.
You think Flacco's the odd man out?
Well,
but
I do.
If that's the case, that's the guy the fans want or think is going to start this year, where really are we with this thing?
I honestly.
We are a mess.
I honestly think it's Kenny Pickett. But I think if I had to guess, my guess is that most folks would love to see Shedeur Sanders as the starting quarterback of this team. And, you know, Shador's getting most of the talk. He's getting most of the buzz, and that's where this is. And I think that's understandable because he had most of the talk and most of the buzz coming in, even though he wasn't nearly as productive as a college quarterback as Dylan Gabriel.
I think the point is if he would have been drafted number two overall, that'd be a really easy argument to make.
Oh, there's no question who the guy would be. And Andy, you'd throw him out there.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd be out there, wouldn't he?
No, but the fifth round gives them all kinds of slack to do whatever. I'm just wondering, people sitting around saying, who's going to be the Browns starting quarterback? Who do they want?
I think it's Shedeur Sanders. So with that in mind.
In accordance with the radioactive 1927 equal time for Dylan Gabriel.
We have to do it because we don't want the legal ramifications in case we don't.
He's not running for office, Jeff. I'm just saying.
He's the middle child of three brothers, and they're all named after NFL players.
Really?
And when we did our Let's Find Us a Quarterback, I mentioned this. He has a brother, Dylan, who's named after former Bengals Patriots running back Corey Dillon.
Yep.
He has a brother named Garrison, who is his agent, by the way, business manager.
Okay.
And is named after former Arizona running back Garrison Hurst.
Ah.
And Dylan is named after Corey Dillon. Sorry about that. And his brother, Roman, is actually named after Rams quarterback Roman Gabriel. So he is Roman Gabriel. Yeah, and Dylan Gabriel is named after Corey Dillon.
Why would you do that to your kid?
I don't know. Well, his dad was a football player, so maybe that was it.
Unless they're friends, I mean.
Daryl Ryder is our Browns beat reporter. He's going to join us next. He's also covering the Cavs, so double duty Daryl next on Baskin and Phelps. I'm anxious to see what Daryl thinks is exactly how, and now that the dust has settled a little bit, how this is going to work. I don't necessarily even mean play out and give me a prediction as to who's the guy. How's this going to work? And Daryl joins us right now. He's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Daryl.
Hello, boys.
How's this going to work with four quarterbacks? Is one guy from the beginning going to be the odd man out when it comes to reps and the possibility of earning a spot? Or do they somehow juggle it and make it work?
I think they have to juggle it and make it work because I don't think that there's any one of these four quarterbacks that is worthy of being the lead dog in the race or being eliminated right out of the gate from the race. So I really do believe that this is going to be a four-man competition, at least at the outset, starting with rookie minicamp when they get their first look at Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders on the field. And then, they'll kind of take it from there as they progress into the offseason program.
Daryl, when I look at the four guys, I think, which guy doesn't fit? And it's Joe Flacco. But that said, I can't imagine them moving forward with Pickett, Sanders, and Gabriel. So I think somehow Flacco is going to fit here because I think he's the security blanket. Do you think that's a fair assessment or is that way off base?
No, I don't think it's off base. I think that you know, Flacco right now is my leader in the clubhouse to start the offseason program just because of what he did in 2023. Now, obviously, a lot can change between now and the end of August and early September there. I see a variety of scenarios playing out, quite honestly. And that just tells you, I think, how unpredictable this particular situation is for the Browns. But, you know, one of those scenarios would involve a trade at some point. Not now, but come training camp time when they start to thin the herd a little bit. You know, I think that there's a chance that you could cut Dylan Gabriel at the cut-down deadline and get him through waivers and onto the practice squad so you ultimately end up keeping all four quarterbacks. So there's a lot of time between now and cut-down day at the last week of August there. And I think that Kevin Stefanski certainly is going to have his work cut out for him as he tries to, figure out who his starting quarterback is going to, not just the starter, but, you know, who's going to be number two on that depth chart as well.
What was this story came out yesterday? I think it was yesterday. Yeah. Shedeur Sanders has the top-selling jersey of the 2025 rookie class. I'm not sure the last time that happened for a fifth-rounder, if ever. And what does that mean for the Browns? Does that, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if there's a marketing thing going on here. And then I also wonder if that's the case, because Jeff and I were just talking about this, what do you think the fans want?
Well, I don't know what the fans would want right now. I would imagine it would be Shedeur. Look, he's good for business already for the Browns, no question about it. I can't remember a fifth-round pick being as popular as he is just days after that selection. He's already making his mark here. He was over at John Marshall High School yesterday talking to kids. He's seen videos on social media of him working out at various local establishments and parks and whatnot. So he clearly, at least on the surface, appears to be coming to town with a pretty positive attitude and an idea of what's in front of him, and that is that he's going to have to earn this job. It's certainly not going to be given to him, not as a fifth-round pick, and certainly not when they drafted Dylan Gabriel in the third round, 94th overall, right, 50 picks in front of him. But look, I will say this. I hope that the Browns learned their lesson and they're not going to make any decisions when it comes to playing time or the roster solely based on business purposes, because we all remember what happened when Brian Hoyer got benched for Johnny Manziel because they were selling Manziel jerseys in the team shop and he was a first-round pick and they wanted to get him on the field even though he had no business being put on the field based on his preparation and his approach and how he was showing up to the facility on a daily basis. So if Shedeur Sanders ultimately does play this season, I just hope that it is 100% a football decision.
Daryl Ryder joining us. He's our Browns beat reporter. Have you heard anything since the draft about Dylan Gabriel that changes your thought, your thinking about him and the way the Browns think of him since the draft?
Well, no, I mean, they obviously think real highly of him since they, you know, picked him where they did. My only question with him is twofold. One, his size, and then two, what Ohio State did to him in the college football playoff. Because let's be honest about it, Ohio State's the closest thing you're going to face, you're going to come to facing an NFL team in college football, right? And it did not go well for Dylan Gabriel. So, you know, I have questions about his 5'11 size. And I mean, Baker was what, listed at 6'2, 6'3 or whatever, and that's all anyone wanted to talk about. And, you know, was, is he tall enough? So I think it is a fair discussion to have. Look, he did a nice job at Oregon. He put up a bunch of numbers, set, a bunch of records nationally as well. But I do have questions as to whether or not he can be successful being less than 6 feet tall in the especially in today's NFL, where the players are bigger, they're stronger, they're faster you know, as well. If this was 20, 25 years ago, I probably would have batted an eyelash over the situation. But, you know, the game has changed. The players have changed.
I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this. They didn't make any moves on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that, where they're going with this. Yeah, they brought some guys. But when you look at the starters on the offensive line, they're back.
Yeah. I don't like it. I don't think that they are positioned to transition to a younger line at this point. And that is one of my concerns with that line, aside from the fact that you have both your starting offensive tackles and DeJuan Jones and Jack Conklin, both guys are off injured, unfortunately. And, you know, certainly can't hold that against those two guys. But, look, it is a reality that you have to think about and you have to deal with there. So, I am a little concerned about that. You know, this is probably the last year for Joel Bitonio. I anticipate that he'll retire after 12 seasons and he completes his contract. You know, Wyatt Teller, I think that he's scheduled to be a free agent, if my memory serves me correctly, next year. There's a decision that they're going to have to make there. So I don't feel like they're young enough up front right now to be adequately prepared for a transition, which, oh, by the way, they're going to have a young quarterback. And I keep using this analogy. Do they really want a Cincinnati Bengals this thing? Right? I mean, Joe Burrow's career has almost been cut short because of the offensive line situation down there. So I would have felt a little more comfortable if they would have brought a young guy in. But I do think they signed a couple of undrafted free agents that they're going to bring in here. And, you know, maybe, you know, they find someone there or on the tryout circuit, too, in rookie minicamp that they want to, you know, sign to the 90-man offseason roster and give them a shot at making the football team come training camp.
Darrell Ryder joining us. Darrell, it's clear the Browns are going to run the football. You know, they've got an experienced offensive line, and whether it's injury prone or who knows, you draft two right. You draft two running backs. It's Jerry Jeudy. What we might have of Cedric Tillman, if the concussion situation is not a big time thing, Deontay Johnson, right. If he gets lucky. What are they thinking at wide receiver, and does it matter drastically if they're going to try and run the football and play two tight ends more?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to give some of those young kids a chance around Jerry Jeudy, and this obviously will be a very big year for Cedric Tillman as far as opportunity goes. I don't know that this was the draft that was great for that particular position. So I understand them not drafting another receiver. And let's be honest about it. Andrew Berry has not had a lot of success drafting wide receivers. So, there is that part of it. And you can always trade for a guy. Andrew Berry is very good at pouncing on opportunity and trading for guys. So maybe he's kind of keeping his ear to the ground and, trying to see if maybe an opportunity presents itself for him to go out and get some additional help at receiver. But you're right. I do feel like this is going to turn back into the Kevin Stefanski offense that we saw a couple years ago, where they were dependent upon the run game. They used the tight ends effectively and frequently within the offense. And I think that part of that's going to be quarterback driven, of course. But, you know, look, Kevin Stefanski's offense is typically a timing offense, you know. Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, and the ball should be there when you arrive. It's not much of an off-schedule offense. So I think that that's kind of what we're going to see this year. And, you know, again, Andrew Berry tells you what he's thinking by what he does, not by what he says. And the fact that they drafted not one but two running backs in this draft, I think, tells you exactly what the Browns have in mind this coming season.
Also, based on that, like every time I Google Nick Chubb, I keep seeing Chicago Bears. You think that's going to become a reality, or do you think is there a path for him to return here next year?
Yeah, I mean, I hate speaking in absolutes. I would say that the fact that they drafted two young running backs lessens the odds that he comes back. But look, the Browns know what Nick Chubb means to the fan base and what he means within the locker room. And he looks incredible in his offseason work. He's doing the squats, doing the jumps and all those type of things. So obviously his knees and his foot are healed, and he looks like his offseason videos this year look like what we had seen in previous years prior to that devastating knee injury in Pittsburgh. So, I'm sure he's motivated to come back and really show everyone that he's got plenty left to give. Personally, would I love the Browns to re-sign Nick Chubb? Absolutely, 100%. But I also understand that Andrew Berry hasn't done that just yet.
Darryl, thank you, buddy. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, D.
You bet, guys.
Darryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.